For those of you that might not know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. That meant that I didn't have like a playbook to look to for Christian parenting. Now you fast forward quite a few years and now I'm married, a pastor, and I have two little boys, Jack, who is almost three, and Emmett, who's about 7 months. My wife Marcia and I have had many conversations over the last year about how to help the boys learn about God. We thought about, what do we do? What should they know? Do they need to read the Bible? And one day as I was thinking about this very topic, a thought popped into my head. What if at night, right before Jack goes to bed, as Emmett still is not able to talk, we were to ask him what he's thankful for? I shared this idea with my wife, Marcia, and she thought it was good. So for about the past 6 months, each night before bed, we asked Jack, what are you thankful for? Some of the things he has shared with us are going to school, Nanny Deb, who's his daycare provider, his friends, Layla, Devlin, Grayson, to name a few, and mostly ice cream and his toys. Now, what's become such a joy, though, is to know that he recognizes the question is coming, and he gets so excited to share with us the things that he's thankful for. It gives us a glimpse into his mind and heart. As I think about this question, what am I thankful for? It's easy to rattle off a few. Marcia, the boys, my family, friends, and even running. But when I think beyond those immediate responses, it's a struggle to quickly name more. And it revealed to me, maybe I'm not doing as well with gratitude as I thought I was. I mean, you look at what's going on in the world right now, the spreading of the Delta variant, things coming up like the school year, just being around the corner, wondering, are we going to make it through an entire year of in-person school? Will my child come down with the virus? And I believe this goes beyond schools as well. We're wondering what the variant means for our jobs, communities, and even the mandates that might still come. The bigger question for each of us is, will we ever get back to some sense of normalcy? And then maybe you go on Facebook or Instagram and you see people you know posting things that you don't agree with, or those that you do agree with being attacked for something they just posted. Now, it's in all of this that I believe we would be doing ourselves a disservice not to acknowledge the hardship of making sense of it all. You see, this idea of just flipping a switch and being grateful, it's just not real. Life is happening, and it's hard sometimes to be grateful. As I continued to wrestle with this concept of gratitude, it led me to a more substantial question, and that is, how can I be grateful when life is hard? If God is present and walking through this life with me, then how can I keep my eyes on Him and what He's up to? Or more concisely, how can I center my heart with thanksgiving when it's challenging? Over the past 4 weeks, we've spent that time looking at some key attitudes or attributes for a centered life. We've looked at what it means to be honest, forgiving, joyful, and confident. And this morning, we will wrap up the series by learning that a centered heart is grateful. By looking to the Psalms, we're going to learn from the nation of Israel on how to be grateful when things are hard. And as I was looking at the various ones, I landed on Psalm 107. Studying this psalm has provided a beautiful framework for me on how to be grateful, and I hope it does the same for you. So let's walk through this together, and we'll conclude with another one of our prayers of examine that we've been practicing over these weeks. We'll begin in verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Now, we're not sure who the author of this particular psalm is, but what we do know is that this psalm is one of thanksgiving. From the beginning, we are instructed to give thanks to the Lord. This isn't necessarily a reason as to why, but more of an exclamation for or even a command to do so. Now, I don't want to miss an opportunity here to sit with this statement, give thanks. This phrase means to praise or to confess. The psalmist is calling the people of Israel to praise God, to confess that he is good and that his love endures forever. Giving thanks doesn't have a time frame around it. We don't just thank God when things are good or cry out when things are bad, but in all circumstances, we acknowledge God's goodness and love. I might not know what each day may bring, but I know that God is good and he is worthy of my thanksgiving. The psalmist is calling them back to something they know, to remember times they have personally experienced God's goodness and his love. It wasn't some arbitrary request. So what about you? When have you seen and tasted that the Lord is good? In what ways has God shown up in your life over time? This is the place the psalmist desires us to start from. I believe this psalm starts out with a profound truth, and that is a grateful heart is one that gives thanks to God in all circumstances. But how do we communicate those thanks? Let's see what the psalmist has to say as we continue on with verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. What I love about this verse is the emphasis the psalmist places on the redeemed telling their story. The word redeemed in this context means to rescue from bondage through outside help. How amazing is that? The psalmist is reminding the people that a grateful heart is one that tells a story of redemption. Tell your stories to your friends, family, small group, or someone that needs to hear it. The psalmist goes on to declare how God rescued the redeemed, the people of Israel, from the hand of their foe. Now, this psalm is written as the nation of Israel is coming out of exile in Babylon. So if you remember the history of God's people, they had stopped looking to God to lead and protect them. And in turn, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar ends up waging war against them, winning, and forcing the people to leave their land and go to Babylon. What the psalmist is sharing here is that God has freed his people from this nation that literally held them in bondage. Yet the psalmist knows that Israel didn't just end up in exile. They played an active part in the fallout. The people of Israel began to extend their thanksgiving and praise to other things besides God. They had stopped reminding themselves of God's faithfulness, his goodness, and that he truly loves them. So in a sense, the hardship they were facing was in part their own doing. Now, I think it's important at this point to clarify a couple of things about facing hardships. First, whether the hardship you're in is brought on by something you yourself did or by outside circumstances beyond your control, pain is still pain. As you look throughout the Psalms, you can see the amount of times people cry out to God and share their hurt. It is clear that acknowledging and naming what you are going through is not only allowed, but it's also good for the soul. And second, just because you're going through a hardship doesn't mean you can't remind yourself of the things you have to be grateful for. See, this is what the psalmist is driving at when he says, share your stories. Take time to tell your stories of redemption to your kids, to your neighbors, to your friends. Regardless of what you're going through, it is good for your soul and your overall well-being to remind yourself of God's presence in your life. But what happens when you're not experiencing redemption in the moment? Or when you're having a hard time coming up with stories to tell? Well, let's continue on in verse 3 to see. Those he gathered from lands, from east and west, from north and south. God has gathered people that have gone astray and brought them from all over to be together again. I got really excited about this point in this passage because I believe it captures an important thing about being grateful. A better way to say it is a grateful heart needs others to keep it going. Some nights I come home and I'm just spent. We have lunches to pack, diapers to change, toys to clean up, and kids to put to bed. But when I get to sit down on the floor next to Jack's crib and see this big grin on his face as I ask him what he's thankful for, it does something for my own mind and heart. And I believe as Christians, it's easy for us to tell ourselves, just be thankful. Or better yet, you have so many reasons to be thankful. Yet when I hear Jack share from his little heart the things that bring him joy, the things that are meaningful to him, I can't help but in turn be grateful. The psalmist knows that even if people are sharing stories of God's goodness and his redemption in their own homes, it isn't enough. You need more people in your circles that have more stories to tell. These stories not only center the one sharing, but also the ones getting to hear as well. This is what I believe the psalmist is after, as God regathers his people. Regularly sharing the reasons you have to be grateful is a lifeline to a centered life. The psalmist desires to help the people learn from their past experiences so that their future can be different. So let me ask you, in these days, who is asking you, what are you thankful for? And in turn, who are you asking the same? I don't believe in these days that we are able to learn how to have a heart of gratitude without being with people who are going to challenge and help us to do so. We talk a lot about groups here at Grace, but this is part of the reason why. Right now, I lead a Zoom group for some of our online community. We've been gathering for a few months now, and the people who are a part of it had never met one another before the first time we gathered. I honestly didn't know what to expect. But it's the highlight of my week when we get together. I've gotten a front row seat to seeing people share what they're thankful for, to express gratitude to each other. And this is what I believe the psalmist is after, that a grateful heart needs others to keep it going. Now let's continue on into verse 4. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. The psalmist is giving us a behind-the-curtain look as to what life for this group looked like when they were in exile, apart from God. The people couldn't find a place to settle, so they were just walking through rough, uninhabitable spots, seeking to get by. They had no sustenance, and it looked like their life was faltering. This wasn't just some mild discomfort. These people were in a desperate predicament. And it made me wonder, what about you? What does life look like in these days? Where is your uninhabitable spot? Do you find yourself wandering, not at rest, maybe even feeling like life just isn't all that I thought it was going to be? What about, do you look at your current set of circumstances and find it hard to see things that bring about joy and hope? Well, the good news is the psalm doesn't end here. It goes on to say this in verse 6. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. It was in the midst of the hardship that the people of God cried out to God, and he met them there in their mess. Distress is defined as hardship or a state of trouble, affliction, and suffering. What I find so interesting here is that while God delivers them from their distress, it doesn't mean the pain of the situation was just gone, nor that the situation is just magically resolved. It doesn't say how long it took for the people to return to a place where they could settle, but it says God did it. Before they would ever return to their land, they began to give thanks for all the ways that God had already shown up. They began to trust that he would do the same thing again. Their faith increased, and in turn, they had reasons to hope again. It's in the distress that a shift takes place. The people began to remember that distress doesn't have the final word. You see, a heart of gratitude doesn't mean that life is just easy now. What it means is that even in distress, we have reasons to give thanks. The psalmist reminds us that giving thanks actually changes our perspective. So for you and I, what are the things we are telling ourselves amidst our current distress? I wonder in these days, do we spend more time sitting with God and His Word or scrolling through a variety of social media channels to fill our minds and hearts? I mention this because in our distress, what we give our attention to has a tremendous impact on how we move through those seasons. In her book, 1,000 Gifts, Ann Voskamp has this to say about what we spend our time looking at. Bad eyes fill with darkness so heavy, the soul aches because it's never truly empty. Empty is only a full deepening darkness. Anne has experienced some significant loss in her life. She lost her younger sister when she was just a child. And as she grew older, another sister would lose two babies who had come down with genetic diseases. Yet even in these moments, Anne knew how important giving thanks is to changing our perspective. If I allow myself to be continually bombarded by all that is wrong in the world, in my world, it is hard to see that there are good things going on, that there are reasons to give thanks. If all I hear are marketing messages of, I need more in my life to be content, then I will continue to feel that I am not content. But if I take time to sit with God, to be in His presence and connect with His Word, my perspective has the chance to shift. Throughout 2021, I've committed to journaling every day. Now, you should know for many years I've desired to do this, but this is the first year that it actually stuck. I wake up each morning eager to write my thoughts of the day down, but I always start with acknowledging what I'm grateful for. Now, after, I jot a few thoughts about the verses I've read and create a few moments to be with God, but this has just been such a helpful thing for me. This shift in perspective and also priority has been life-giving and helpful in keeping me grounded in my day-to-day things. So I say, what is taking up space in your mind and heart in these days? Let's continue. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wondrous deeds for mankind. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. As we make our way through verses 8 and 9, we see the phrase, give thanks again. In one sense, it affirms the character and goodness of God, but in another, it brings to light the ways in which God met His people in their time of need. He fully met their desperate needs in tangible ways. He brought about food and drink as they were hungry and thirsty. I believe it's in the simple, small ways that we so often neglect to see how God provides and cares for us. The water we have to drink and the food we have to eat, or the clothing we have to put on and the shelter we have to protect and keep us warm. It's so easy to miss these things, but the psalmist is saying, don't stop telling the stories of how God redeems. Don't stop being with people who can share their stories with you as well, and don't stop taking time to connect with God so that your perspective is in a good place to handle your problems. This psalm is meant to show us all that we need to make time and space to reflect on all the things that God is up to in our lives. The entirety of the 43 verses of this psalm is a reminder to the people of Israel and to you and I about why we need to stop and reflect. Regardless of what's going on in our lives, the world, and everything in between, we each have things to be grateful for. But really, as the fall approaches, I know we also have quite a few things to be anxious about. I think many of us thought that by now we would be ready to move on from COVID and start over, which unfortunately is not the case. We thought that school was going to be different for kids, that getting on an airplane might feel different, that even getting back together as church would be different. But it's all just hard. Not to mention the thoughts of celebrating milestones, birthdays, and maybe even holidays again without the people we care about most. We have a lot of things to be anxious about, but in the middle of all of this, I believe we have reasons to give thanks. I started this message by posing the question, what are you thankful for? And in the last few weeks, this question has taken on a much greater meaning for me. 2 weeks ago, I lost someone near and dear to me. Days before he would pass, I decided to drive down to Long Island to see him one last time. I knew if I didn't, I'd be kicking myself. So as I sat with my Uncle Tom and prayed with him, I told him I loved him, and he looked me in the eyes, and in the way only he could, he said, ditto. I hugged my aunt, and after eating a quick lunch with my mom and stepdad, I got back in the car to make the 5-hour drive back home. It was during that drive that I had time to reflect on a key thing that I'd forgotten about. When I was just a baby, my parents split up, and my mom was in the process of losing the home she thought she would raise my sister and I in. Our house was going to go up for auction, and that would be it. It was in this time frame where my mom's sister Karen and her husband Tom decided that they were going to buy our home so that my mom wouldn't lose it. They had their own little house down on the water, and they were content on where they were, but they decided to go ahead and buy our house. It was a split-level ranch that they would end up living in downstairs, and me, my sister, and my mom would live upstairs. My uncle gave me shelter and a place to live throughout my childhood. Or a better way to say this, my uncle redeemed my mom, sister, and I from a tough situation. Thanks be to God for him. I share this story because it was in this moment of reflection in the car where God reminded me of how grateful I am for the gift of my aunt and uncle. I began to reminisce on all the memories and the time I got to spend with him. I'm heartbroken over the loss of a pillar in my life, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to know and be loved by a great guy. It was in all of this that I have been reminded of an important truth, that a centered heart is grateful even when life is hard. So as we take a final rest on this Labor Day weekend and get our hearts ready for a new and challenging season, let's take some time to be thankful and to tell the stories of our redemption. As we wrap up our time this morning, let's take the next few moments to center our hearts together as we pray the prayer of examine we've been using each week. I'll guide us through the 5 movements and give you time to talk to yourself and to God along the way. So let's pray. Lord, we begin our prayer by relishing with gratitude the moments we experienced your goodness and love over the past 24 hours or so. Lord, as we continue in prayer, we request your help. We give your Spirit permission to search our hearts for things that might be hindering our ability to give thanks to you. As we review the last 24 hours or so, we want to name the hardships we are currently facing, the distresses that have kept us from experiencing a grateful heart. Lord, we repent of the times we have neglected to remind ourselves of your faithfulness to us, and instead, we kept our minds and hearts on other things. Finally, Lord, we receive your forgiveness and the freedom to try again, to practice a heart of gratitude in you this week, and to see the ways you continually fight for and provide for us each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.